Welcome back to the Ghost Bunny Podcast. I'm your host, Bridget Marquardt, with a brand new episode for you guys. This week, my guests are Denise DeMattei and Selma Hunga. Denise is the founder and director of 3C Paranormal. Her interest in the paranormal started in the late 90s when she purchased a very active house. That led to a career spanning over 25 years of investigations. Her love of the history of Gold Rush era towns has led her to specialize in this particular genre. When she is not pursuing things that go bump in the night, she impersonates the infamous courtesan Lola Montez at Gold Rush celebrations. Selma Hunga is an investigator and site coordinator for 3C Paranormal Investigations. She became interested in the paranormal as a child growing up in the historic Gold Rush town of Dutch Flat. Stories of hauntings were abundant, many centering around the hotel and the old school that served as the community center. With nothing much for children to do, they often played in the cemeteries and around the hotel and school, hoping to see ghosts. After high school and moving to Colfax, she rented a house where she would hear sighs and murmurs and often smell perfume. When she's not investigating, she dresses up as Lotta Crabtree, the nation's darling at Gold Rush events. Denise and Selma, thank you so much for doing the show today.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Yeah, so I was just talking to Elsie Lottie from your same area, and she was telling me that she's looking forward to going to the winery paranormal thing that you guys are hosting.
Yes. Scott Harvey.
In Sutter Creek.
One in March and one in April. It's a paranormal ghost tour, but we're going to actually be, it's going to be interactive. We're going to have, there's going to be wine, of course, and we're going to let them use our equipment. And we're going to go up and down Main Street and we're going to hit a couple of places.
That's so fun. And I love that you guys are all doing this because, I mean, I grew up in this area. Yes. I grew up in Lodi, so not far from that area, but we would,
My first boyfriend lived in Lodi.
Who did? Your boyfriend?
My first boyfriend, yeah.
I love it. But we would spend a lot of time, like we would go, I was telling Elsie that we went to like Jamestown and rode the train and we went to Columbia and we got held up by bank robbers toured the school. And we would go to Sutter Creek and just walk around for the day and hang out. And so like, I really love that area and there's so much history and all the towns are so cute. And I feel like it really is a hidden gem, especially for the paranormal because so many people don't know about it. So I'm so glad that you guys and Elsie and other people like you are like starting to put things together and do stuff there.
Yeah, we specialize in that area. We're just somehow drawn to that part of the, well, we live in it. We live in the northern part of it, but some of our favorite wineries are very close. Scott Harvey Winery being one and Rombauer being the other one. Their Chardonnay is amazing. Also known as Cougar Juice.
I did not know it was called that. Mm-hmm. I got to get me some of that.
Well, I'm a member. I can send you some. Okay. It's amazing.
I love it. And tell me, just for fun, you guys play these characters, Lola Montez and Lotta Crabtree. Tell me about these characters.
Well, I started doing it a couple years ago. Lola Montez was a very infamous courtesan, as they called her back in the day. She lived down the street from Lotta, who Selma plays. And when Lotta was younger, which Selma is a little younger than I am, but so she brought her up and taught her how to dance. And, but they both were very, very famous Gold Rush entertainers. And in fact,
and very, very strong women.
Yes.
Back in the day. And, Lotta ended up when she passed away, she was the richest female entertainer in the country.
Wow.
At that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were very well known. And Lola, by the way, she had a lot of boyfriends. One of them, you know, a lot of European nobility. And it was just, she was so scandalous. She had the infamous spider dance that she basically raised her skirts up to almost her nether regions. And it was quite the ordeal, but they were both so well-known and they're so connected. Like we're connected. We're very good friends and we work together for about 10 years. So it works out really well. We're asked to go to all these different celebrations, 49er celebrations. And we get the outfits on, we have our calling cards, you know, especially if you see a cute guy, that's always fun.
Yes.
You know, that's a calling card. And we have our parasols, so we dress and we act the part and it's so much fun.
Yeah, it sounds like it's fun. I love that. Speaking of strong women and everything too, we were talking about just before I hit record how you guys are an all-female team and how, you know, Elsie is in that area too. And it's so neat that there's like all these strong females that are doing this kind of thing in that area.
Yes, it's nice that we get along with each other. It's wonderful. And the men too. I mean, you know, but they have to understand they come along with us. We're leading it, which is always funny, but you know, we've got the equipment. We've been doing this. I have over 25 years of experience and Selma has quite many, many years herself. So we know what we're doing, but it's fun. It's fun being strong women we dislike men, but it's a kind of a female camaraderie, you know?
Right. Exactly. And sometimes the men, you know, they just want to take over because that's what they do. And it's like, no.
Good luck with that.
You're not going to do that.
Yeah. Well, what I was going to say too is it's not like trying to exclude men or anything like that, but they're just so well represented in this area and females are not so much. So I just think it's really cool when there's all female teams and when there's representation out there. And I also think that the methods of investigation are so different. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with doing an investigation with men or even a co-ed team or whatever, but there's something special about an all-female team and kind of like the empathy and the intuition and it, like just a whole different method that's sort of involved in it that is kind of cool for a change of things.
And we're very gentle. You know, we have our own different methodology about doing things.
Right. And sometimes the Gold Rush era gentlemen that have passed on, they didn't really like women.
Yes.
And so we get a different response from them sometimes than if there were men in the group.
Oh, no, I can see that. I bet you get a different response.
Well, you know, the Hotel Leger, which you stayed, I think, the weekend before we did.
Yes.
Did you go in the jail cell area down below?
I went to the basement for a minute. They told me I couldn't go down there without one of them being there. And it was like the fireman's ball weekend or something. And so they were busy. And I had no idea what the fireman's ball. I didn't know that was going on. But they took us down there to show us when they just had to get something from down there. But we didn't get to stay or investigate.
Because we went the following weekend and there was obviously no fireman's ball. But they let us, unfortunately, yes. But we would have, because all the other people staying there had an interest in the paranormal. So we found out about it. So we got everybody and there was a girl staying there with her family.
Right. Turning 15, I think.
Turning 15.
And her birthday, what she wanted for her birthday was to stay in a haunted hotel. And so Jessica, the owner, you know, mentioned it to us and we're like, yeah, we'll take them.
Little did she know.
Yeah. So we took the whole family and we took them downstairs and then we took them down the street. We met up with another couple staying there. And we all went to the nearby
cemetery.
Go ahead.
Sorry. And anyway, we let them use our equipment, you know, and they've never used equipment. So we taught them how to do it. So it's really fun because we're going to be doing that at the winery on our tours. So that will be really neat. We just show people how to use it and get it. It's going to be interactive with everybody. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, that sounds like, well, I wish that I would have known about you guys before I went. What happened was like I said, I'm from that area. I've been to a lot of these places, but never really investigating because as we all know, the investigative methods and the tools and all that kind of stuff came much later after I wasn't living there anymore.
Exactly.
But I've always thought I go home and I just stay in Lodi. Like I never go to these little places anymore. And I know that there's so many ghosts there. You know what? This next time I come home, I'm just going to like pick one of the spots. And I actually picked Murphy's.
We can, we'll bring all of our equipment. It'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually picked Murphy's first and they were sold out. So I was like, all right, let's go to like Jackson, McCallamy Hill area. I've heard about McCallamy Hill being haunted. So let's stay there. And I didn't know anybody or anything really. Just the research I did online. But when I got home, I was like, you know what? I know there's people in this area that are doing stuff and I need to find out who they are and get connected.
You found the right ones.
You found them.
I asked Elsie this too, because when I was there staying at the hotel, they told me it was called the Hotel Leger.
Well, my understanding of the pronunciation was Leger. There's an accent over the G.
There is an accent on it. And that's why I asked. And she said there is an accent, but that was just George, the original owner, trying to be fancy, but it was really Ledger. And I was like, okay, so I don't know. I just, and I'm not trying to correct it. I just,
well, I'm curious. Both ways. So yeah.
Yeah. And when I type it out, I don't get the little accent.
Me neither.
You know, when you do, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm just curious because I'm just curious how everybody else is pronouncing it. Cause I'm like, do I say it wrong every time or?
I say Leger.
Leger.
Fancy.
And then if I'm dictating the text, it comes out as leisure.
Oh, I bet.
You know, so it's like, whatever, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let me see here. I'm not even following my notes. Let me look right here.
Oh, one thing real quick.
When
we were at Hotel Leger in the backyard.
Yes.
Remember what
we hanging tree.
The hanging tree. Yes. We found out from the wonderful bartender. She told us, she goes, you know, you're going to catch stuff in the back. There's an actual hanging tree that's still there. And she told us which one it was. So I got up the SLS.
No, I found the noose. She didn't tell us.
You found the, yes, Selma found the noose.
I found the noose.
And wait, there was still a noose in the tree?
Well, not a real one.
It's
a small one. But they kind of like to mark which tree it is.
There was a little noose, which Selma found. So I got the SLS out, and we've got the SLS of a guy like bent over, and he's struck. It's like he's, you know, the SLS, you're familiar with that.
Yes.
It's a stick figure, and he's struggling, and his neck is over, and it's crazy. And so I put it out there, and people are saying that's interesting. We're not claiming it's going to be paranormal. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
Right. That is interesting. What else have you guys experienced there?
Well, in the past, I found about 5-6 years ago, a friend of mine who used to be the wedding coordinator there, she took me and another investigator into the jail cell area, and there were some chairs around. So I was just recording them, and I got a ball of light that went around the leg of a chair, which I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can't be a lens flare if it goes around the chair. So it was just interesting.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've caught way back. I've been there a number of times, caught a mist in the corner of room 11, which we stayed, heard footsteps at one time, didn't catch them, but yeah, it's that place. Like, you can definitely feel, don't you agree?
Oh yeah. You can feel it. Yeah.
So, we didn't have a lot happen when we stayed, and it was pretty, ruckusy out there because the fireman's ball was going on. They were expecting a really busy night, and, we had room 6 and room 8 and room 7. I don't think they really rented out. I mean, there was laundry and
housekeeping things in there. Room 7, isn't that his room?
Yeah, that's George's room.
George's room.
We snuck in there.
Well, she told us, she's like, you could go in here, it's no problem. And but so we were in there, my mom and we were doing an EVP session, and you can hear a lot of noise coming from downstairs at the pool table and everything. But at one point, I do hear footsteps near us, like coming, like in the hall, but I can see in the hall, and there's nobody there.
That's
so
one of the things caught there.
I would love to like go back and like have somebody walking around in their rooms and see if I can hear footsteps from that room.
About it, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I can't, I'm not back there right now. So I just have to assume that these footsteps, you know, are possibly somebody walking around in the hotel or possibly paranormal, because it's not anybody that's like right in the hallway or coming up the stairs.
What time of night was it?
It was probably around 11.
Okay, people are still, yeah.
Yeah, there's, oh yeah, they're still up.
11:30.
Did you go out the hall and look? Immediately, did you go and look?
I can see the hall.
Oh,
and there's
the door open, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nobody there. And then right after we hear the footsteps, you can hear a clicking noise in the room with us. And I was telling Elsie on the last podcast too, like there are no alarm clocks. There are no thermostats. There are
no
refrigerators, no like coffee. There's nothing electronic in these rooms. And not that it was even an electronic noise, but I mean, that would be my first thing of what could be causing that. There was, and my mom and I are just sitting there on the bed, you know, so like there was something making a clicking noise in the room with us, and I have it on the audio. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, all these things together, I mean, you might, you know, you can say they are, they're not, but it's interesting. You know, it's hard to claim something's paranormal unless you catch an absolute perfect EVP, which we have caught. Selma caught in Virginia City at the Washoe Club, one of the best EVPs ever.
What was the EVP?
Oh, we were at the Washoe Club and we were doing the tour that they have. And we would kind of hang back from the group.
Way back.
Yeah, like way back, because
that's what we do.
Yes.
Yeah.
We do what we want.
Yeah.
Within reason. And everybody had moved on and we're in this little tiny area, just the two of us. And I'm just videoing to see if I catch anything on the video. And then she starts talking and then it's like, okay, well, let's go catch up. And so we caught up with the group. Couple of days later, I'm just looking through all my photos and videos and I'm playing the video. And all of a sudden you hear this guttural male voice say, "Get out." And then immediately followed, it's a woman and she goes, "Get out." Like she's ticked. And then right after that, Denise starts talking.
Yeah.
Imagine.
Yeah.
And, and so, yeah, it's just like clear as day. She goes, "Get out." She was very annoyed. She did not want
to start people in there.
Yeah. We did not hear anything.
Yeah. So it's a true EVP. And we've sent it to other people that we know in the business. Some are very well known who shall remain nameless.
Yeah.
And they've told us this is a class A EVP.
Nice.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so just for those listening, Washoe is in Virginia City.
Yes.
And it's one of the most infamous haunted places. I mean, everybody, I feel like, has an experience in that building.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Virginia City never disappoints.
No, we always catch fun stuff. And we're friends with somebody who does all the tours for the Piper's Opera House right and back. And we caught, it was broad daylight. We're in Mr. Piper's office. A part of his from his elbow to his hand, like a white mist, but it was in the shape of a hand reaching down up to his arm. And it's like a frilly sleeve. Thank you. And it was broad daylight. It was nuts. Just happenstance. Some of the best stuff we catch. And in May, we're going to go have an overnight there. So it's the first Saturday in May.
Yeah. All right.
Which is, I think, the third. We got the place for the whole night.
The whole night.
And it's going to be amazing. And if we can, we might get the room to in Silver Queen Hotel room 11, which is the prostitute who committed suicide in the same tub that's there. A lot of people
the same bathtub is still there.
Yeah,
I want to stay in that room.
Yes.
Wow.
So we want to do a, you know, if we can, we got the Washoe Club, but also if we're able to secure that too, to do, you know, hit a couple places and then the next morning, maybe go to Piper's Opera House. Have a real, you know, go out with a bang.
Yeah, that's amazing.
If you can go, that would be amazing. Yeah.
Your guys' list of places that you've been to is enviable. Like, I am like, holy cow.
We've been doing it for a while.
It's extensive. Well, I have to ask you one more thing about Virginia City before we move on from there. You guys got to investigate a place that I've been wanting to investigate there that I was told they don't allow investigations is the Fourth Ward.
I investigated it not during the night, but during the day. And I kind of separated myself from the group as usual is what I do. And I caught the best blue orb sitting in one of the desk on the seat.
Aww.
It was very cute. I felt like I was in the presence of, because I was talking to the kids, what do you study? Just as a teacher would be to a child. And I reviewed, you know, my evidence later and I caught this wonderful blue little orb sitting on the seat of one of the chairs. And I thought that's really neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not conclusive, but it's interesting.
Right. So before we get into the list that I want to like totally talk about some of these places, I'm curious. I want to know each of your history, like what got you into the paranormal. Denise, I know you said it was about buying an active house in the 90s.
Yes, in the place called Dutch Flat. and I lived there by myself, and it was very, very active. And the person I bought it from his widow, and he died there. And I figured out, without anybody telling me, where he died. And I had that confirmed later. But there was something really strange in the basement. There was a lot of walking around at night on the balcony. I mean, it was nuts. There was a lot of towels were moved, you know, like the hand towel in the kitchen, your kitchen towel, it was moved. And I used to play little games like, okay, when I come home from work, see if you can move it to another room. And I came home from work and it was like, okay. But I learned how to deal with it because this is in the 90s, late 90s, and there wasn't a lot available to really research. So I had to educate myself how to deal with a haunting. And I started helping other people locally with what they had and started investigating. And then I started moving on to more historical places. And Selma has a little different route.
Yeah, Selma, how did you get involved?
Well, I actually grew up in Dutch Flat.
Okay.
We didn't know each other.
But we didn't know each other because I moved there probably in early 70s. And I was gone by 1983. So our paths didn't cross there. But Dutch Flat is, it was a booming gold rush town back in the day. And most of the buildings back when I was growing up there were the same buildings, the same cabins. Like we called it, our house, but it was really just an old miner's cabin that people were living in and kind of, you know, renovated a little bit, but nothing to do. Like there was no movie theater, no skating rink, you know, you had to drive at least a half hour to get to anything like that. So we, as kids, we had to create our own fun. And there was two cemeteries up there. And I lived right below one of the cemeteries. And so we would spend our days when we were kind of little playing in the cemetery. And that kind of evolved for me from, you know, the playing, oh, you go in first. No, you go, you know, to actually, who are these people that passed away? Because at one point it kind of dawned on me, oh, they were once living just like I am, you know? Yeah. And then the hotel that's in that town is extremely haunted. And there's an old schoolhouse that is now the community center. And that's haunted. And we would play there a lot and we would hear things. But as kids, you know, you go home, you tell your parents, oh, you know what? We were at the school and we heard these footsteps, you know, going up the stairs behind us. Okay, honey. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
But it always kind of stuck with me. And then, you know, I graduated high school, moved on, and then fast forward to the mid 2000s and we ended up working together. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I think you were moving in the process of moving away from Dutch Flat. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, well, I grew up there.
And we started comparing notes, and then she found out because a lot of people knew that I had a paranormal group.
Yeah.
So we started doing some investigations together.
Yeah.
So
I'm like, pick me. I want to go.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. I was looking up Dutch Flat because honestly, I hadn't heard of it. And it's a population of 103. And it says, like many towns in the area, Dutch Flat was founded during the gold rush and boomed in the years that followed. But unlike most of the other towns, Dutch Flat has never been leveled by wildfires, which is interesting because so many of the towns have been leveled by wildfires.
Right.
So it looks much of the way it did in the 1850s because it never burned down.
Yes.
And the cemetery includes tombstones from the Civil War and from before the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Sorry. And the community center is at least 164 years old. The general store, which is the only place in town to buy groceries, has a sign overlooking the porch that lists every owner since 1854.
Yes. Yes. And the old Wells Fargo safe is still in there,
yeah,
which is really cool.
Oh, that's cool. And then it says the most impressive of these historic buildings is the Dutch Flat Hotel, built 2 years after California became a state. The hotel features 9 unique rooms, stunning mountain views, and comes with having witnessed some of the most foundational moments in California history.
Yes. Interesting.
Yes, yes, very interesting. We've investigated it before. Yes.
Yes.
So cool.
So we did investigate the hotel,
again last
year. Yeah, last year. I wanted to say earlier this year, but we flipped over. But we did investigate it last year, and we posted. We didn't really experience anything that we could post, like pictures or video or audio. But we did talk to some people that agreed, yeah, I'll go on video as long as it's not on the news. You know, I'll go on and tell my story. And so we posted that, and then we were asked by the owner to remove it.
Oh.
And we told them when we booked the room that we're paranormal investigators, and they were fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But he said, you know, people are going to be afraid to stay here. And it's like, no, you're going to draw people to it.
That's what I think. Business. Yeah. That's what I think too. That's unfortunate. Yeah. I love it.
Especially with our history there.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it when hotels embrace it and invite it rather than try and hide it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So the house in Colfax that you bought, tell me about what you used to hear and stuff, like sighs and murmurs and...
Oh.
She lived in a house in Colfax.
Yeah, I lived in a house in Colfax. And there was this one evening, we had people over. There was just two of us that lived there. And we'd had some people over to party because, you know, I was right out of high school, so that's what we did. And everybody had left. And we laid down on the floor in the living room, no TV on, nothing. And we're just laying there. And all of a sudden, there's this. And I look over. I'm like, what? You know, and he goes, nothing. What's up with you? Because he heard it, too. And I'm like, that wasn't me. And he's like, I bet it's Dan. Let me go see. So he gets up and he goes out to see if Dan had come back. And nobody was there. Nobody in the driveway, nobody on the street. And, you know, he comes back and he's like, I don't know, there's nobody there. So I'm going to bed now. And so he went off to bed and I'm like,
you're left with the sign ghost.
Yeah. And just at times when I would be getting ready for work, I would just, you know, hear somebody. And it's like, you know, who's out there? Because people would just come and go. There would be nobody out there in the living room or kitchen. Sometimes I would smell perfume, and the people that we were renting from, his mom had owned the house prior to him taking it over and renting it out. I never learned if she passed away in the house or not, but I would smell perfume every once in a while, and I didn't wear it at that time.
And that's one of the signs they say, you know, you smell, you hear, you see, you know, spirits, you feel. Yeah.
Definitely. So when I went to go stay at McCallum Hill, we drove through like the old part of Jackson, and we stopped and we walked around, and we went inside the National Hotel, which is now on my list of places I want to stay because it was so cute.
It's
inside.
Awesome. Yes.
Yeah. But you guys have investigated there, right?
Yes. A few years ago.
Tell me about that.
A lot of footsteps, and the restaurant and bar were open at that time. This was, I think, in 2017. And so we naturally explored. There are a lot of footsteps we were chasing. There was no, I mean, this is like 2 o'clock in the morning. There was nobody there. We heard footsteps in upstairs outside the room. There was nobody there, you know, because I run out and look. We'd go downstairs. Kind of like they were getting us to follow them. We were following the footsteps almost, and there was nothing there. You know, we'd go down the stairs, hear the footsteps, go into the restaurant. Footsteps, then it'd take us into the bar, footsteps. So it was a lot of footsteps, pretty much. But you never know what you're going to get. But it's a great place. And they have a book in the entryway, and people write their experiences, which is really fun to look at.
I went and took a look at it too and did like a little video just like flipping through it and everything. And I asked the lady at the front desk if it was haunted before I saw the book. And she said that she personally hadn't had experiences, but that a lot of people do. And they're all in the book over there. And I was like,
that's
wait,
amazing.
What book?
Yes, the famous book.
Yeah, but like that's a great example of a hotel that embraces it and welcomes it and is inviting for it. For those that don't know, the National Hotel in Jackson, they have a John Wayne suite, room 201, and it contains some of the original furniture that the actor provided to the hotel to help pay off an almost $50,000 gambling debt he incurred while staying there in the early 1960s. So
really?
Did you know that?
No, crazy.
Oh my God. He must wonder what, I wonder what movie he was filming in the area.
I don't know.
I know a lot of movies, you know, Columbia, a lot of movies were filmed, a lot of Westerns were filmed there, but probably in Jackson area.
Oh my gosh, a gambling debt.
Well, John.
Yeah.
Is he smoking?
I know, right? They probably definitely has a smell with that ghost.
Tobacco and old cowboy smell.
For sure. Yeah. And they said, celebrities, however, aren't the only guests who have lent notoriety to the National, as the hotel doesn't lack for reasons why its grounds are reportedly haunted. During the fire that burned down the original structure in 1862, several people staying in the hotel died, including two children, who reports say continue to haunt the National to this day. Many reports describe the pair frequenting the hallways. I'm getting images of The Shining in my head, and emerging from rooms. Also, the top two floors were an emergency flu ward during the Spanish flu epidemic in 1918, which resulted in several casualties, and paranormal activity is reportedly heavy in those areas.
Well, that makes sense. Maybe the footsteps I heard were kids. I wish I had, sometimes if I know there's children hauntings that have been reported, we'll bring the Boo Bear.
Right.
Yes.
Which is a paranormal device you touch and it lights up. And also just a plain rubber ball. Mm-hmm. A rubber ball, you roll it, you see if the kid wants to play with it.
Didn't they do that in The Shining, I think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know.
Oh, the good places are haunted. No, it's good. You have on your list that you were at the Winchester House. What happened there?
Oh, we got a private, we didn't do the overnight, which we want to do. We're going to have to get a whole group to do that with us. But we got a private, just the two of us, a private tour. And the lady was so excited to learn we are paranormal investigators. So she normally doesn't do this, but she told us all the paranormal things that happened. She took us to her and took us to the hotspots. One of the things that she was telling us about a little boy. So
down this specific hallway.
Yeah. So I got the SLS out and I caught a little boy in front of a brick fireplace. And she goes, oh yeah, he's always here. He was a child-sized, you know, SLS figure. And I was talking to him from, he was there for quite a while.
And she said that he would hold her hand.
And it was cold.
Yeah.
It was cold.
Yeah, when he would hold her hand.
Wow.
So that was our main thing. But you could feel. And they took us into the basement area where there's a guy's creeper or something.
Goes, yeah.
And if we do an overnight one, that would be a fabulous place in the basement where that, you know.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's a great place. I just would like to have a whole night there.
I love it there. Gold Hill Hotel, where's that one located?
Right outside Virginia City. Mm-hmm. And that's actually where we stayed when we got the EVP of the lady telling us to get out.
Okay.
And we got some really amazing evidence there. We set out some crystals. We got Rosie's room. So there's a room called Rosie's room that was where she liked to stay. And she likes to be kind of mischievous. So she'll like try and hide things like the little rubber stopper to the bathtub. She'll hide that from you, that sort of thing. So we set out some crystals and a little grid, but we did it kind of messily. And then I left some jewelry there. And, you know, we just said, hey, if you want to play with these, feel free. You cannot keep them, but try them on or play with it. Do whatever you want. We're going to go have dinner. We'll be back later. We took some pictures before we left and we went down, had dinner. We were gone for locked the door, gone for a couple of hours, came back, took pictures. Things were moved. And
like a lot,
like really moved. Like you could tell things were moved. But the best thing that we got,
there's a miner's cabin, aside from the, hotel. It's in the back and it's right. It's by the mouth of the gold,
Yellow Jacket,
mine.
Yeah.
And there was a horrible tragedy. Many, many men, died in there. It collapsed and there was a fire and they couldn't get out and they couldn't get to them. And they were struggling to get out. It was awful. And when they found their bodies, they were on top of each other. Well, we went out there and I got the SLS and we were talking to them. And all of a sudden the SLS started going, it's like a bunch of different people, objects were all frantic and crawling over each other. It upset us so bad.
Yeah.
I think it's residual, not an act of haunting, right. But it was residual. Like it's not like they're reliving it. It just keeps happening because it was such a tragic accident. And all these stick figures were just crawling over each other. And I mean, I was tearing up.
You could feel the energy that they were experiencing.
Terror.
Almost. Yeah.
And then sadness. And,
yeah.
It was very emotional.
And one thing about the SLS, because I know a lot of people like kind of poo-poo it and say, oh, it'll map on a chair. It'll map on this. We have the settings on both of ours very, very low. So it's not going to map on something that's not there, so to speak. And mm-hmm. we always test it first.
Yes.
We always test it. Okay, is it trying to map on anything? And
yeah,
and if it does, anything, yeah. it's like, okay, it's trying to map on that. So if something comes out, we'll discount it. And yeah, we weren't getting anything on the SLS until that.
And we ran to another family, and they found out, of course, we're paranormal investigators. Mm-hmm. So they were tagging along mm-hmm. with us, and they were doing some EVP work. And they caught some voices that
yeah,
were not there.
Yeah, it was...
It yeah, was, there was like, there was, it was just them. There was, they, the man went off by himself to the one end and he goes, I got these voices. And we listened to it. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was, someone's talking to him way at the other end where there's nobody. And it was pretty close to him too.
Yeah.
And it was nuts. I said, send it to us. And they never did, but
yeah,
such is life.
Right.
But they enjoy tagging along.
Yeah. Tell me about what you guys have experienced at Preston Castle. I talked to Elsie a little bit about that too. And I did my podcast with them a while back ago, but you guys have investigated, right?
Yes. We've been there on a number of occasions and we didn't catch anything per se, but the feeling you get is overwhelming. It's
yeah.
overwhelming and you feel like you're being watched. I
yeah.
mean, it's, I want to do another investigation there, but it's, yeah, we try to find the cemetery. They move the cemetery into the,
it's controlled now by CDF or something.
Yeah. It's next. There's a prison there.
Yeah.
I think Mule Creek. So
yeah.
it's now into, we have to go into Mule Creek. Hi guys.
Yeah.
And then go in there and investigate. They won't let us for some strange reason.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we would do fine, but. I remember being in the infirmary there and there was just this one bed. I mean, obviously there's multiple beds, but this one bed, I was just kind of drawn to it. And I just felt like there was somebody there and I felt like I wanted to comfort them and just tell them it's going to be okay.
So you were hanging you around know? That bed for a while.
Yeah. Yeah. I could just, cause a lot of it to me, a lot of it is, just the feeling that you get, the intuition, the
trust your body and trust, you know, your yeah. senses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we went to another part of it that probably we were supposed to go. There's where it was all overgrown, where a lot of, I guess the workers used to live in these houses. They're dilapidated. The doors are off. So we kind of went in there and there was one room that I thought that we were in horrible danger.
Yeah. I wanted to go. You wouldn't let me.
Well, no, you could have gone.
Mm-hmm.
But it's it was like something like there's something bad around this corner. I mean, it was just so, you just trust your gut.
Yeah. She felt like there was something bad around the corner. I just felt like there's something around that corner.
It could have been a rabid raccoon.
Who knows?
Or a rat.
Yeah. I don't know, but yeah.
Is that the one of the houses that on the road that leave up?
Those are nice. Those are in pretty decent shape. These are in the back where you probably wouldn't even notice.
Yeah,
so naturally, okay. We go, you know, walking.
In our heels and our dresses. You know,
yeah.
I love it. Have you guys stayed at the Ione Hotel?
Yes.
Because I heard that's haunted too.
Yes. I caught some crazy stuff. I stayed in the room where there's an outline of a rose on there. And they keep
painting over it.
They wallpapered over it. When I was there, it had been painted over and it was there. It was there. There is a rose. And we sat there at the top of the stairs coming in, you're walking up the stairs. And I was taking some pictures and I got some crazy, weird light anomalies. I don't think it was my camera. it, because the ones before it were fine, the ones after were fine. It was like a man's figure running across. I mean, it was just some crazy stuff. That's all I really caught there. There were footsteps about 3 o'clock in the morning, but that place was pretty creepy too. I mean, it's a little rundown. Most of these places are a little rundown, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know, we're not staying there.
It kind of adds to it.
The ambiance, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I said when I did a little video about staying in McCallum Hill. I was like, it's a no frills hotel, but I didn't come for frills.
No,
exactly. For ghosts.
We just, okay. Right. There's hot water. We're fine. Okay.
And it's clean.
And I don't know if your room went out to the balcony. How you get to the balcony, you open up your window and you walk out.
You climb out the window.
Hi, neighbor. How you doing? Oh, also, later on that night, remember, I was right in front of, before we're going to go to bed. Right in front of the window.
Yes.
And I heard a rapping. And I went, oh, it's the little kids coming around like, hey, how you guys doing? You know. And I immediately opened up and there was nothing there. And I crawled out the window and there was nothing there. Something rapped on the window. Like, well, someone wants our attention.
Yeah.
I really thought it was the kids. I go, where's the kids?
Yeah.
Because they were wanting to hang out with us again.
Yeah.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
You guys stayed at a place that I have a few places that I stayed at that I want to talk about. The Mitzpah Hotel, which I loved.
Yes, yes. I didn't stay there the whole night. I was there part of a night. And that place has got a lot of history. I'm trying to remember, is that where the guy, did he get it, die in the elevator or not? I'm trying to remember the stories of the Miss. There's been a lot of places.
I know, right? You guys have such an extensive
list. There was like an elevator thing, but I was going up, you know, through the different rooms, and there was, I got some weird lights. I got footsteps. I get those a lot. That was on the same trip I went to. Didn't stay at the Clown Motel, but the Clown Motel and that cemetery right next to it.
Yes.
You know, and the cemetery, I think, feeds the Clown Motel. I think the Clown Motel.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think so, too.
Those weird clowns in there.
So just for the listeners, that we're talking about Tonopah, Nevada.
Yes.
And that's where the Mitzpah Hotel is. And I actually feel like it's really nice considering the area and and its age.
Nicer than it should be at that point.
Yeah, I feel like that too. And then the Clown Hotel Motel is there as well, right down the street. And then that is borders up to the old Tonopah Cemetery.
Yes, which is really creepy. I love it.
Yeah, and they're all just like right there. It's like very close to each other. And
feet on each other. Yeah. They really do.
Yeah.
I think so too.
Miners buried there. A lot of tragedy. And that, you know, I think it creates its own residual haunting when there's like sudden
they
death
have their
tragedy.
Own little community almost. Yes. And I think they kind of go back and forth. You know, you might run into John here and John over there also.
Yeah. I think some move around and some stay put. And as a matter of fact, we're going to try that, that theory out when we are in our
Sutter Creek,
because one of the famous buildings was the old Palace Hotel. It burned down last year and they uncovered these famous tunnels that go from there to the actual Hotel Sutter. Thank you. And so we're going to take, you know, a group all over the place and do investigations, but that's going to be one place. We're going to get the equipment out. We're going to go, you know, we can't get into the
tunnels
because it's
fenced off,
but the fence, you can see through it. So we're going to do some EVP work, see if they're still there because they're
where do they go?
Yeah. There's supposed to be it was a bordello at one time. One of the ladies of the night is reportedly seen there, and also the former owner is reportedly seen there. So we're going to try to make contact with them, see if they're still there, see if we can catch anybody with our handy FLIR in the tunnel, because it's going to light up at night and let us know there's somebody around there.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that same, not to get you off track, which I'm really good at doing,
but to try
that whole philosophy, like, where do they go?
Yeah.
Place
do they
down.
Stay? Do they move on? Do they cross over?
They go to another building.
Yeah. I would be so interested to hear what you guys find, because I was asking that too, with the LA fires that we just had, the ones, the fire in, well, I'm sure there were haunted places everywhere, but in Altadena, those were very historic old homes with a lot of history and stuff. And I was like, if they were haunted, where did they go? Like what happens now?
Yeah.
Are they still part of while the structures are still, are they still embedded in the structures? Or they just want to hang around because it's familiar.
Right.
It's so interesting. I think it probably depends on what type of ghost they are and why they're there.
Exactly.
So are they, residual? Are they intelligent? Are they attached to the building? Are they attached to the land? Is it, there's so many different things that probably play into whether they are still there or not. But it's a really interesting.
Yes. And we want to try to
find out.
To find out if we catch a thing. Like we got a couple of them planned, so we've got, quite a ways to try a couple of ways. We're gonna see what works the first time, see what works the second time.
Yeah.
See if we catch anything, which will be fun. So we're gonna make everybody part of the investigation.
I printed this list that you guys sent me. It's so long of all the places. I'm like, there's no way we could get through some of these.
No, we can't, but there's
Tell me like your biggest highlight on this list that we haven't hit already.
Well, I think for me, it would be Carrie House.
Oh, in Placerville. Tell me about it.
So I had never stayed there before. Denise had stayed there. And we thought that it was only a 3-story building. And
obviously I can't count.
She can't. Well, anyhow.
That's a different talent.
Yeah. We're not technical. We don't do math. Anyhow, we're across the street and I'm looking over at the hotel and I told Denise, I said, there's 4 stories there. And so we counted three or four times. And so we go back in and we were staying on the 3rd floor.
Yes. Or the second.
Second floor. You're right. 2nd floor. And so we have the camera going. We're audio recording. And we're going up and we're between the 3rd and 4th floors. And Denise started not feeling good, kind of nauseous. And, she's like, I got
to
sit down.
I heard a voice behind me whisper to me.
Yeah, she was hearing this murmuring behind her. You couldn't really make out what they were saying, but you could hear it. And so she sat down and I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep going. And it was 2:20 in the morning. And I start to go and there was this blood curdling scream. It was a female, followed immediately by another one. So there was 2 females screaming and we're both like, what the?
Yeah.
And right then there's this old time jazz starts playing just out of the blue,
right in front of the room, right in front of us.
Right in front of us.
Like dee 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 dee.
Yeah. I mean, it was, it's like
everybody's asleep
and nobody's coming. You know, there's this loud scream. Nobody's coming out to see, hey, what's going on. There were dogs staying in the hotel because they allow pets. No dogs are barking.
And we went down to the floor, the entrance, and looked out in the street to see.
Yeah. I went all the way up to the fourth floor at this time, and I wanted to walk down to the end of the hall, but I couldn't. It's like, I want to go down there, but I know if I walk down there, life as I know it is not going to be the same. I didn't know like what would happen or what. I just knew my whole, every sense of my being was saying, don't go down there. As much as you want to, do not walk down that hallway. And so I didn't. And
I was going to try a rope around her and have her go down there like the poltergeist when she went into the
Carol Ann.
Don't go down there, Carol Ann. I was going to have to pull her out of wherever she is.
Well, sometimes you just have to trust those. Sometimes you just have to trust those gut feelings.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so I didn't, but we checked, or Denise checked the news the next day, you know, was there anything, you know, reported?
Anybody died?
Yeah. There was nothing. And the next morning we started to go up there again and we got about to the same spot.
Yeah. We were snooping.
And the door that had the jazz coming out of it, it opened and it was this couple came walking out and they had a dog. And
okay, how come the dog didn't bark? How come no one reacted? Nothing.
Yeah.
We were trying to act casual, like, oh, we're not looking. we don't know.
Yeah. But that was, yeah, that was I'm just curious. And I want to go, I want to stay there again. I want to stay in that room.
There's never been anything reported on the fourth floor.
No,
it's always on the second floor. Maybe.
Yeah,
and the main floor.
But we didn't get anything.
No,
on those floors. And I would almost, I want to do it this year, but at the same time, I'd like to stay on the same date.
Oh, okay.
To see if it was like residual.
Oh, that's a good. That's a good point.
You know, like, okay, something happened back in the day on
once
this day.
A year it happens.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you never know. Yeah.
You know, that stuff's there's reports of things like that. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking at all the places that you guys stay and or have investigated, and it's like Grass Valley, Nevada City, Dutch Flat, which we talked about, Auburn, Placerville, Coloma, Amador, Sutter Creek, McCallmy Hill, all these places. And they're all just like kind of pretty close together.
Yes, yeah. Which is handy for us because we do it. We're both semi-retired, but we both kind of work during the week. So our weekends, we like to explore.
Yeah.
So it's a fun habit. We go to wineries that we enjoy. Yeah. And
well, and this is Tickle Me Pink. And this is from Scott Harvey Wineries, which is the tour that we're doing in conjunction with Scott Harvey. And Tickle Me Pink is the official wine of
3C.
3C Paranormal.
Oh.
And yeah.
Is it a rosé?
It is.
But it's got a little carbonation.
It has a little carbonation. And I'm not a white wine girl, but I love this. I love this. And the label, I mean, how stinking cute.
Yeah, it looks like it's super cute.
Yeah.
Really cute.
But anyhow, I love that. I love that you guys have an official wine.
Absolutely no, you know. No reason.
So we have like just a couple more minutes. Tell me about another one of these places.
Let's see. What would we do? Coloma's always fun. Coloma's where
great.
Gold was first found. That started the whole gold rush in the mid 1800s. And there was a nice town there. There's actually a couple of the old Chinese buildings still there. And I was actually locked in one as a joke. And I heard murmuring inside it, and I was the only one, which was really interesting. Let me see. We've been to the Pioneer Cemetery a number of times. We talked to a young boy who was he died way too young, and we heard guitar music, and so we were wondering, going around in the dark with flashlights, we found this headstone with his name and a guitar on it, like etched into his headstone, which was rather interesting.
Yeah,
this is about 2 o'clock in the morning. And we've been there. We caught some interesting noises, murmurings.
Yeah, murmurings.
The jail ruins there. I've caught footsteps and murmurings there. I mean, a lot of this stuff is just, it's very rare when you catch something like a full-bodied apparition.
Of course.
I mean, we've caught some great EVPs, and that's what we kind of live for.
Yeah.
But a lot of stuff is, you sense it, you're just, it's kind of like on a, you're on a scavenger hunt. You're trying to find the next story. And what we do, we're really into the history of these places. So we investigate and we do our due diligence beforehand. We've got so many books, and we go back and forth and talk about the history of something. Let's focus on this.
Right.
Let's see if we could talk to so-and-so. We heard he died there, or the family died there. So it's all about learning the gold rush history for us and having fun investigating. I think that's what we take away.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, the TV shows where you're just sitting there and all of a sudden a chair goes flying across the room.
We wish.
I know. Right?
You know, I hope.
We just do it. And if we don't get anything, you know, we come home and we review everything and there's nothing. It's like, we had a good time.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's an interesting hobby.
It really is. I agree. Some of these places too, I was going to say like Placerville and stuff like that. I haven't been up in that area in a really long time, but my grandma used to live in Pollock Pines.
Oh yeah. That's just up the hill off of 50, huh?
Yeah. So I would go up and visit her quite a bit. So like we would go to the El Dorado County Fair.
Oh yeah. And, that's nice.
You know, do stuff like that. So I am familiar with this area, but I just haven't been in so long.
Well, if you want to go, I mean, we'll shoot you when we're going to go shoot you an email when we're going to go hit some of these places. And if you can make it, you're more than welcome to join us. We always have fun and great wine.
Yeah, I told Elsie I'm coming home later this month for my grandma's 106th birthday.
That's amazing. Happy early birthday, Grandma.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'll have to email all you guys and see if we can get together and do something.
We can make it happen.
Yeah, we'll make it happen.
We'll take you to Rombauer first, and then we'll go to Sutter Creek and hit a couple other places. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
I like ghosts and wine.
Oh, yes, that's hello. We always, especially when we're going that direction, even if we have to go a little bit out of the way, we hit Rombauer. You know, we do our tasting there and what have you. And then we go on to Scott Harvey. We absolutely adore the tasting room manager there. Franklin. Hi, Franklin. You better be watching this. we've made him an honorary C. We just love him to death. So there's always wine and ghosts involved.
And good food.
And good food.
We try to find a nice restaurant.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you guys familiar with Lock or Ride at all?
Yes. I want to hit that. But is there any places to stay in there? I think it's kind of run down.
The Ride Hotel. At least
get into some of those old opium dens they have. Somehow one of us can talk them into letting us in there. That would be amazing. There's Al the Wops, which is a famous restaurant. There's been there, but there's all those. It's on the Delta.
Yeah.
And that's been on our bucket list.
And I spent a lot of time in Lock, Walnut Grove, Isleton.
Yeah. Yes.
All of those growing up. Loved it.
Yeah. So Lock's on our list.
Yeah.
It's on mine too, because that when I go to Al, when I, okay, I haven't been in so long, but when I've been to Al's, the famous restaurant there before, just that whole area, it really truly feels untouched to me.
Yes.
And it was heavily populated by the Chinese immigrants right there.
Exactly.
Yes.
And that's why the opium dens, and they're still there. You know, there's so much residual activity there. I mean, those poor women that were stuck there. There were some women that I read about that they were kind of in, basically held as, you know, prostitutes, and they kept them plied with drugs, and they had to service the men. There's all the little cribs up there. It's like, it's heartbreaking.
It's like human trafficking before human trafficking
had a word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting mix because it's like the Old West, but yet the Chinese influence.
Mm-hmm.
And like you were saying, the opium dens, but then the brothels, and then it's just like an interesting mix. And you're right there on the Delta, like it's right on the water there. So there's that going on too, which always, I feel like, intensifies things when the water is that
always
close.
A conduit, they say, for paranormal.
Right.
Yeah, and then the Ride Hotel is right there. And when I was growing up, I didn't go to the Ride Hotel, but I'd heard that it was nice, like a place you went for Sunday brunch and stuff. But I was looking it up because I thought, well, could I stay at the Ride Hotel? Like, what's going on there? And it looks like it's hit and miss whether it's open or not. Mm. And it looks like it's hit and miss whether it's decent or not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
is it haunted?
Yes.
Oh, well, who cares if it's decent? Well,
right, but it has to be at least open.
Yeah, exactly. Open. Well, I don't know. If there's a door and I
if there's a way.
Open, she'll open.
If there's a door, it's meant to be gone through. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, I just think I have this dream that someday I want to own a haunted hotel, not some big monstrosity, but like some cute little haunted hotel. And I'm like, I want to go check out the Ride Hotel because maybe that's the one.
Maybe that's in your wheelhouse.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know Lodi has some ghosts too. Have you ever done anything in Lodi?
No, we haven't. We have not been down there. What is there that you are aware of?
Well, I know that there is a team that investigates this antique store that's there, but the building used to be something else before, obviously, it was the antique store in like old downtown Lodi, like the main street and stuff. And they've invited me to do an investigation there, which sounds pretty active. And then I don't know if they want me talking about it or not, but there's a beautiful hotel resort in Lodi called Wine and Roses, and they do like spa treatments and they have like a really fancy dinner place and wine tasting and all that stuff there. And it's nice. But they have like an old historic home that it used to just be like this little tiny bed and breakfast place, but now it's like a whole hotel. And that bed and breakfast part, the old house part, is haunted. And there's been lots of stories that I've heard from people, including maintenance workers who've running out of there, like out of the basement and stuff. But I don't think they like to talk about it. But if you're ever in Lodi, it's a cool place to stay if you're ever in Lodi. And try and book the old part where you stay in the house and not like the newer part.
The oldest place.
Yeah.
That's like Sutter Creek Inn where we're going to be staying. They're putting us up there. It's two doors down from the tasting room, and that is haunted, and they embrace their ghosts. So we're staying in, they booked us in the main house. So we're going to take the VIPs afterwards, and we're going to go investigate where we're staying.
Perfect.
The main house.
Yeah.
So it's going to be just a lot of fun, different investigations, and I'm excited.
Definitely. Well, you guys have a great time. Thank you so much for doing this show today.
Thank you for having us. Yes.
Yeah. Tell everybody listening how they can book an investigation with you or go to the wine tour, all that kind of stuff.
Well, go to our Facebook page is probably the easiest way. It's the number 3- the letter C, Paranormal Investigations.
Yeah, that's on Facebook.
And then there's links to our different sites where we're on there. Yeah. But we've got, you can buy tickets there. You can, the link to Scott Harvey Winery.
Yeah, for the wine tasting tour, March is sold out. Sold out.
In like a week.
In a week. April 12th is the next tour that we're doing.
It's almost sold out, but
you can still get tickets either by going to our page and clicking on the link or going directly to Scott Harvey's page and going to events.
But we're very receptive. People want us to come and check out a private place. We will. Their hotel. Great.
Yeah. I'm not sure when this will air. Are you guys doing tours throughout the summer?
Hopefully, yes.
Hopefully. We don't know. Right now, we just have the March and the April. Everybody was kind of surprised at how quickly the March tour sold out. So they immediately put an April one on the calendar. And so, you know, we're just kind of waiting and to see, but they definitely want us to do stuff,
and Halloween.
Halloween is huge.
We're going to be really busy with a bunch of different things we have planned. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so fun. So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Ghost Bunny Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me on my spooky adventures, and I look forward to sharing a new ghost story with you each week. Please subscribe to our podcast so you're always the first to know when a new episode is out, and follow us on social media at Ghost Bunny Podcast on Instagram, at Ghost Bunny Podcast on YouTube, and my new Patreon, patreon.com/ghostbunny, for spooky tours, investigations, and much more content. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.